On Robin Hood Radio, as we enter the second hour of Sunday morning on Robin Hood Radio, it is time for Sporting a Cause with Willie Hallahan. Sportingacause.com is the website, and that is a website that Willie blogs on, but also has a list of events that are all sporting-related, sometimes it's a little stretch, but all sporting-related, but they're all fundraisers. And, of course, this COVID-19 crisis has basically shut down just about everything except for liquor stores and takeout food and grocery stores. But let's welcome in the intrepid reporter, Willie Hallahan. Good morning, Willie, and happy Easter.
Thank you, Marshall, and happy Easter to you, too. And the crazy times continue, don't they? I don't know what to say. On my website, for the remainder of April and May, all 35 events have been affected. Either they've been canceled or postponed. And I'm not going to list them all because it makes no sense to do that, but I will have some things to say about them. There are some, it's not even breaking news anymore, but I'm going to touch on a couple of major events, sports-related fundraisers in our tri-state area that have made announcements recently. By the way, I'm talking about these big events not because I think they're more important than the small events because they're all fundraisers, but it can affect a lot more people. One of them, for example, is the Litchfield Hills Road Race. They decided at the end of this past week to cancel. That's a big deal. I mean, so much work goes into all these events. You know, when an event cancels, and there's so much pain out there, you know, it's hard to quantify it. You know, when people are losing their jobs and their businesses are closing and all that, that's real, real pain. Let's call it a different level of pain when a fundraiser is forced to cancel. They've put a lot of effort into the event. They've spent money that they've gleaned from sponsors. It's already spent. They've paid for T-shirts and so forth. They've lined up volunteers, and not to mention the potential revenue that they've lost. Sometimes these events are the major fundraiser of the year for these events, and it's all going away. So whether they're large or small, they are all important. The Litchfield Hills Road Race would glean 1,200 participants, not to mention the thousands who come to watch. Another pair of events at Lime Rock Park, both the beginning and end of May, the Touring Car Festival and the Memorial Day Classic, they've both been postponed. The Memorial Day Classic has been postponed to October. And the Walk MS, this is the Walk for Multiple Sclerosis. They've all of their events, their walkathons through June, have been made virtual. And I'll have something to say about the virtual nature of these events a little later. If you're a golfer, the Travelers is still on at the end of June. They haven't changed that yet. And that has, even though it's outside of the Sporting a Cause area, it has implications as a fundraiser within our area. The Housatonic Golf Team, Habitat for Humanity, they all have these little fundraising elements that the Travelers addresses. And so far, so good. In my blog, I talked about this kind of 30-day. There's kind of a desperate optimism, I'll call it, Marshall, about events when you're looking at your event, you know it's 30 days, 40 days out. You're trying to figure out, is this thing going to plateau, and when can we get back to normal? It seems like, it's not an unwritten rule, but the way it seems to be shaking out is about 30 days beforehand you make the decision to pull the plug on the event or make some sort of alteration. And it's a sad moment when they do that, but people wait till the last minute, of course. Why wouldn't they? There's so much at stake. Golf-related news, this is outside of our venue, but it's important to golfers. The British Open has been canceled. That's a big deal. And the other three majors, the PGA has been postponed to August, the U.S. Open to September, and the Masters to November. And for those of you who don't realize it, New York State has altered their view on golf courses again. First, they were considered a non-essential business, and they closed them. Then they reversed that and let them stay open, and now they've reversed the reversal, and now they're closed again. Connecticut now stands as the only New England state that is allowing golf courses to be open, And New York State, outside of New England, has chosen to close them for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure why they have been going back and forth. Back to the 35 events that have been changed by the virus. 14 have canceled. 17 have been postponed. About half of them have new dates, and the other half they haven't decided yet. And 4 have become virtual. Now, the virtual event started to crop up about a year and a half ago, and I blogged about it. I wasn't a fan. Basically, if you compared an actual event that people went to versus a virtual one, take a walkathon, for example, say the Walk for Alzheimer's. Held in the past at in Litchfield, and this year will be at Lime Rock Park. You get 400 or 500 people here. Walkathons tend to address diseases. Not always. There's a crop walk for hunger and so forth, but by and large, the walkathons address research and so forth for all these catastrophic diseases that we deal with. So you're getting a large amount of people gathering together for a very emotionally driven cause, because they're all either sufferers or they have loved ones who've suffered from these diseases, and they walk in solidarity. It's a very emotional thing. There's a lot of energy that's created by this. Now, you make it a virtual event where basically there is no gathering, there is no place, there is no time oftentimes. You just do your own thing. You fundraise just like you would for the gathering, but you do it on your own time in your own space. Now, there are a lot of advantages to that because there's a lot less organization. You don't need the volunteers, all kinds of reasons, but you're still fundraising. I wasn't a fan. I went on record saying that that difference, the energy and everything of having an event was all important, and I'm sure it added to the fundraising too. Well, that's all changed now. I've become a fan of virtual because, well, almost out of necessity. There are these walking and running events. It became the third alternative for an event to either canceling or postponing. It allows the event to still be held. People who signed up and paid money early can still do it. You don't have to go to the start-finish line, wherever it happened to be. You can go out to the end of your driveway now and run or walk or whatever it is you're going to do. You may have gotten your T-shirt. You still get it. You may have raised money. You're still donating. But it allows the event to continue instead of just going away. So the virtual nature of these events, now I'm a fan. You have to be. Everybody's doing what they have to do, and it makes a nice alternative. Of the ones that have rescheduled, 5 have been rescheduled to September. Now, Marshall, you may remember, at the risk of belaboring the point, I'm going to do it anyway. I was saying how September is the busiest month, on my calendar at least, for sports-related fundraisers. And my fear was it when May events especially, because May becomes is the biggest spring month, as the weather warms and people are anxious to get out and golf and run and walk and all that. My fear was that a lot of these May events that were postponed would be postponed to September, and it's already looking like that's going to happen. And I said that September was the busiest month. Well, I went back to 2019, just checked out the events on my website, and there were 67 events last year in September, between running, golf, and the everything else category. If you added in the Upper Housatonic Heritage Walk program, which goes for the whole month of September, they have these events, their walks, their paddles, or their variety of events, the very cool events. There are about 15 events per weekend for all of September. If you add them in, and there's no reason not to, you end up with 130 events in September. Roughly divided into weekends, we're talking 32, 33, 34 events per weekend. Now, you start adding in these postponements into that month, and it's not going to be pretty. There are challenges, as it is, to postponing an event. When you've had an event for several years, or 30 years, or 40 years, as some of these have, they're always on the same Saturday of the first weekend of the same month, and people are used to that. The loyalty of their participants comes from them dedicating that day to that event. Now, when you move that, you are at risk, a very real risk, of losing some of your participants because they might have something else to do or whatever. Your volunteers, if it's a big event, you might have 100 volunteers for an event. Their loyalty is taxed when you change the date because they might, too, have something else to do. So there are a lot of challenges to moving your event to begin with. You stick your event into a busy month or a busy weekend, and you've just added to your challenges. Now, as an example, if you went to either month on either side of September, say in August, the totals go way down. Instead of having 34 running and walking events in September, there's only 14 in August or 23 in October. Golf is even better. From the 19 golf tournaments in September, the month before in August, there are only 11, and only 2 in October as it starts to get colder. So there are big advantages. If you look at the calendar, or give me a call, please. I can advise you on what to do with your event. You're going to be challenged enough, let's face it. So give yourself the best chance of having some success by rescheduling your event for a month and a weekend where you don't have a whole lot of competition. And life is hard enough these days. Let's do the best we can.
And you're not even including in the fact that there's so many businesses that support these events. And now with all of them clustered in one month, businesses are going to have to decide which events they want to underwrite.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I only touched on a portion of that. A lot of these events are organized a year in advance. They've got their sponsors. Sponsors have given money. The money's been spent. They bought T-shirts. They spent on advertising, whatever. And that money is a risk. Either if you've canceled the event, that money goes away. And if you postponed it, there's a very real chance your event will be lesser for the move. And you're right. Businesses who are hopefully relatively soon are going to reopen. The financial challenges that they've endured, I don't think are going to allow for a whole lot of philanthropy, at least for a while.
Well, it's going to be an interesting next couple of months. We'll see what develops. Once again, it's sportingacause.com with Willie Hallahan. Willie, we'll check in with you again next week and see what's new on the horizon.
Okay, Marshall. Keep the faith.